Welcome to the 2-Minute Disciple Podcast with your host, Nick Euler. 2 minutes of discovery leads to a lifetime of following Jesus. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Nick, and it's great to be here with you today. We just keep taking one step at a time through the Gospels, and today's step is into Mark chapter 11. So, let's dive in. When they were nearing Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany on Mount Olives, he sent off two of the disciples with instructions. Go to the village across from you. As soon as you enter, you'll find a colt tethered, one that has never yet been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks, "What are you doing?" say the master needs him and will return him right away. They went and found the colt tied to a door at the street corner and untied it. "What are you doing untying that colt?" The disciples replied exactly as Jesus had instructed them, and the people let them alone. They brought the colt to Jesus, spread their coats on it, and he mounted. The people gave him a wonderful welcome, some throwing their coats on the streets, others spreading out rushes they had cut in the fields. Running ahead and following after, they were calling out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in God's name. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in highest heaven." He entered Jerusalem, then he entered the temple. He looked around, taking it all in, but by now it was late, so he went back to Bethany with the 12. As they left Bethany the next day, he was hungry. Off in the distance, he saw a fig tree in full leaf. He came up to it, expecting to find something for breakfast, but found nothing but fig leaves. It wasn't yet the season for figs. He addressed the tree, "No one is going to eat fruit from you again, ever." And his disciples overheard him. They arrived at Jerusalem. Immediately on entering the temple, Jesus started throwing out everyone who had set up shop there, buying and selling. He kicked over the tables of the bankers and the stalls of the pigeon merchants. He didn't let anyone even carry a basket through the temple. And then he taught them, quoting this text, "My house was designated a house of prayer for the nations. You've turned it into a hangout for thieves." The high priests and religious scholars heard what was going on and plotted how they might get rid of him. They panicked, for the entire crowd was carried away by his teaching. At evening, Jesus and his disciples left the city. In the morning, walking along the road, they saw the fig tree shriveled to a dry stick. Peter, remembering what had happened the previous day, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is shriveled up." Jesus was matter of fact. "Embrace this God life. Really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, 'Go, jump in the lake.' No shuffling nor shilly-shallying, and it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. And when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have something against someone, forgive. Only then will your heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins." Then when they were back in Jerusalem once again, as they were walking through the temple, the high priests, religious scholars, and leaders came up and demanded, "Show us your credentials. Who authorized you to speak and act like this?" Jesus responded, "First, let me ask you a question. Answer my question, then I'll present my credentials. About the baptism of John, who authorized it? Heaven or humans? Tell me." They were put on the spot and knew it. They pulled back into a huddle and whispered, "If we say heaven, he'll ask us, 'Why didn't we believe John?' If we say humans, we'll be up against it with the people because they all hold John up as a prophet." They decided to concede that round to Jesus. "We don't know," they said. Jesus replied, "Then I won't answer your question either." Jesus' teaching on prayer in this chapter jumped off the page and slapped me in the face. I know the things that he said are true, and I want to live them out in practice, but when it comes down to doing it, I freeze. God wants me to bring everything to him in prayer, but I hold back. I'm not sure exactly why, but it could be because I think it's not big enough to bother God with. It could be because I think I can handle it, or that he doesn't care enough to do those little things for me. However, I know better and want to take everything to him. I want to walk into God's everything. I want to take everything to God and ask big things, but why do I doubt and hold back? When I know that if I include everything in prayer, I get God's everything. There's a lot to work on for me, bringing everything to God and letting go of my pride. What do you need to work on? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you now, thanking you that I can bring everything to you. And that in bringing everything to you, I get your everything. Father, I want to embrace this God life. Help me to lay down my pride and all the things that are hindering me and trust you completely. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for listening today. Share the podcast on social media. Check out our brand new YouTube channel. Support the podcast, and I'll see you back here